I have really poor skin. I didn't want my face to be in high definition. Yeah. Scare all the longtime viewers.
Oh yeah, you know, we got some. They're here for our good looks, not for our random video game conversation. Speaking of random video game conversation, let's start the show. This is the Top Video Game Podcast from HorribleNight.com for Tuesday, March 4th, 2014. Come at you live on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Jordan Wilson is impressed by how fast I can rattle that off.
Standing in for Justin Gifford tonight will be Jordan Wilson.
That's very meta.
Blah, I'm having a kid soon. I read books. Environmental law.
That is a spot on impression.
Something about puppies or dogs. I don't know.
Tell me about anime, because I don't know about anime.
Anime. Okay, I need to preface this with a couple of things first, all right? For anybody who's not familiar with anime...
That would be me.
Yeah, okay. Or probably most of the viewers or people in chat, except for my brother. So... There are three things you need to watch out for when watching anime. Okay, the first thing it's referred to as pantsu. All right, so some anime
pantsuits. Hillary Clinton is an anime.
So some anime really likes to show off panties. All right, for some reason these animes are kind of marked by really short skirts and really windy days.
Right,
really windy days. I don't know what it is. It's just. You get those, and everybody's falling down a lot. Everybody.
You think that would happen in Chicago?
Really bad balance. All right, so that's one thing you got to watch out for. Oh. All right, the second thing you got to watch out for is not really that funny, but seriously, you have to watch out for it. And so, some anime, for some reason, thinks that molestation and rape is somehow vital to the plot. So you got to watch out for that. And then the third thing you got to watch out for is just gore.
I'm okay.
I don't mean just like watching someone get killed. Watching someone's entrails get slowly pulled out of their bodies. So, all right. So, I'm going to preface it with that.
Do the entrails ever turn into tentacles?
I've heard that's another thing
to watch out for. And also, I think all anime should have this sort of categorization system on the back of their box. I don't need a rating system, but just like level of pantsuits.
Most of the adult stuff. I don't mean a porn. I mean like more serious
adult
topics.
Situations.
Yeah, those are the ones that get a little uncomfortable. So but we got our most of them have the fan service.
So like we have the pantsuit scale. We have the rapey scale.
Pantsuit. I wish they would put
and
some
the
pants on
scale.
Then we wouldn't have that problem. So the anime I'm going to talk about, it's real popular at the end of last year, and so my brother started watching it, so I didn't really have many plans on watching it, because I knew it fell more into the gory side of it. Okay. I'm not a real big fan of gore,
but
he started watching it. But pants, yeah.
If I keep saying it's going to be funnier.
So I started watching it with him. It's anime by the title of Shingeki no Kyojin. Okay, all right. Well, then I don't need to say. No, as you may know it, Attack on Titan. Pretty popular.
It's really popular on Tumblr. I can tell you.
And for some reason, really popular in Japanese TV, like car commercials, too.
Okay.
Have you seen those, like the live-action car commercials?
I buy American. Or I don't buy cars, also. Where do you see Japanese car commercials?
Video game websites, because everybody's excited about Attack on Titan.
I need to talk to our advertisers. We're apparently missing our demographic.
Oh, the commercials are gross. So, have you ever seen a picture of any of the Titans on the show?
No. I've seen this like really tall, bald dude.
Okay, well, picture a person without skin.
Yes.
And that's what the main Titan in the thing looks like.
Yeah, I've seen him on like all kinds of geek T-shirts. That have been like replacing my favorite shows.
So it's pretty gross. So here's how I would describe Attack on Titan. I wrote this down because I had to get the wording just right.
Let's read.
Okay. It is a post-apocalyptic medieval steampunk world where a military unit. Okay, I'm not done. All right, where a military unit of soldiers fight against 15-meter-tall zombies.
Meter. What are meters?
About five stories.
Okay.
you know how big a building is,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, picture a building about 5 stories tall. That's about 50 meters. All right. And this military unit fights these zombies like Spider-Man, but with swords.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think I can understand why it's pretty popular. So just picture like an entire military squad just like jumping around buildings like Spider-Man, mm-hmm, but with mm-hmm swords. Okay.
I'd play that.
Fighting zombies in a post-apocalyptic
okay
world.
All right.
In a post-apocalyptic world with 15-foot zombies that eat people and can't die.
So the Titans are zombies? Or the ish. Zombies-ish. Zombie-ish.
It is... At no point do they explain what the zombies are or what the Titans are, where the Titans come from, but I'm going to refer to them as zombies because they can't die mm-hmm at all. Well, they can die,
so
but it's like...
immortal?
This, yeah, yeah. They don't need to eat. Like, they just are, and they...
they're completely peaceful, but we're trying to kill them anyway.
No, they don't kill anything but people.
Oh, that's...
And the
that's
second convenient they see people or sense people near them, they freak out and just go running towards the people because, and this is where the gore gets into it, they have, like, an insatiable hunger for eating people. Yeah, I get that's about the best way that I could
like
describe
bacon
it. So,
got it.
They like long pig.
Long bacon.
Long bacon. Oh, man. So this is another problem with okay, so I think maybe the first season of Game of Thrones kind of taught us to that anybody could die at any point. Nobody is a main character enough that they're going to survive. Well, so this show, they introduce you to like a group of like high school kids mm-hmm that you know, and everybody's all has their own torrid past, a lot of emotional stuff
personas
going on.
That's a video game joke.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
that's appropriate for this show?
That's a good anime too. I like Persona. The video game's pretty fun too. But yeah. Yeah, most of those main characters die. Most of them you watch them get eaten. So it's rough. That's why I mean, like, I don't know why it's as popular as it is, because outside of the
is
whole
it new?
Like,
do you know,
nah. Well, yeah. So the anime just came out. Okay. Like, it ended in September of last year.
Okay.
So
like, as a dumb person, like a dumb anime person.
No, it's not.
I always assume animes are just like one, two hour movie. I forget, like, no, they're just...
Oh, okay.
They're like a TV show. Like,
yeah.
It goes on for a while.
Yeah, it's a lot of TV shows over there. most of the movies are like a quick like clip show of a series. Mm-hmm. Like they'll do a series in two and then they'll do a movie that's just like a clip episode.
Do you think
like 2 hours of clips from the season?
Do you think this is particularly friendly for someone that's not into anime? Like, as far as a...
I don't know. It's gory, and so here's the other problem. Here's the other problem too. So, like I said, you just kind of have to accept the fact that at any point during the show, like any of these characters could die. Like nobody's safe. And so the show got real popular. It's based on a manga, so there's a guy, there's a person that's writing all of this and doing the artwork for it.
What's the difference between anime and manga?
A manga is a graphic novel.
Okay.
And an anime is a graphic novel in color, but without the text and like a flip show, they move it real quick.
Okay. Graphic novel.
Like video animation. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that's the difference. The manga is not finished, so you have, you know, the anime. Yeah, they kind of started making the anime like
it is like Game of Thrones. The show's gonna lap the books too. So
most anime is this way. Most anime, you'll watch a season, and then you realize that's it. And this show came out in 2011, and then you're like, all right, well, I guess I'll hunt down the manga, and then you find, okay, so yeah, there's a manga, and it's not done, and it's been going on for 6 years. And where the manga is at is where the TV show ended, because they only release like one chapter a month or something like that. So where the manga is right now would be season two of the show.
Okay.
And so I caught myself up on the manga because the anime doesn't end. They kind of wrap one outstanding thing up, and then that's it. And then the show is over. And then there's no news about, you know, there being a season two of the anime or anything. So I'm like, crap. Now I gotta get online and find the
manga. That's why I say don't watch anything, because you might like it and it'll be over.
There's enough TV shows that that end horribly. that really doesn't work either. So I think you just kind of have to go into it knowing that, like, this might be crap. It might never end, so I might never find out what's going on in this world. But I'm enjoying it now. So
cool.
So it's enjoyable. I wouldn't recommend it if you can't.
Is it worth posting about on a website every day? Because I see a lot of people doing that.
There are fans out there.
Yeah,
there are. There are people that are doing their own fan art. I mean, DeviantArt, you know, you got to put something up on your DeviantArt page. All right.
My DeviantArt page has been a little dormant, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I liked all your Sonic the Hedgehog
the running guys?
Fan stories. Yeah, I liked your little... I like the character.
Oh, you made found that.
With the spiky hair.
You found the story, so...
That looked exactly like Sonic the Hedgehog, but was red. But, I mean, you put your own artistic... I like your spin on the character.
I mean, 90% of the artwork, you know, wasn't my property, but I think that you know, the filter I put on them made it my own.
It's all common fair use.
Right. Yeah. Common...
The game's old enough, it's all fair use. Yeah, you can use all the art assets. Don't worry about it. All the music, too, from the game. Yeah.
Before we get to the new...
Copyright free. Yeah. Fact.
Yes, truth. I only post truths.
Every video game that's more than 5 years old, all the assets are free to use.
So I'm learning so much. Manga are... Well, I don't even remember. They're not graphic novels, and anime is cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I
had something else. I had some point that I would. I had something else that I was going to there, but I kind of.
I just summed it up for everybody, so it's
for
fine.
A minute.
Okay. So we've been. I think we've both been working on our own game ideas in the background here. Like, we do a lot of game pitches on the Horrible Show, and. We've been looking to have you on the show, and you're telling me a little bit that, you know, some of your game pitch ideas, you might actually want to make them, so throwing them out on the show is a little weird.
Yeah, I really struggle, because, like, I'm actually learning game mechanics right now, like, trying to learn different game engines, and so when I have an idea, it's usually a real game idea, and sometimes they're good, like, and I, you know, want to keep them close, you know, close to my chest, so that some indie developer... All the indie devs that watch this show.
Or just members of Horrible Night might steal from you.
I guess that's true, too.
Hey,
you actually work with a bunch of game developers.
I say, in our defense, we've posted some of your stuff before. So
we're
trustworthy dudes. But I was going to say...
So,
like,
I do have a kind of a serious game pitch based on that game I made for this site a long time ago.
Yeah.
So,
is that still in the works? Is that still? I mean, it's got a game design doc. So,
no, that was a.
It's dead.
Oh, you're no. I don't mean the I don't mean the Horrible Night game. Oh. So that the other game, the flower picking one.
Oh yeah, the side quest.
Yeah, the one I made like 3 years
I showed
years
that
ago.
To somebody like a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, to show awesome. Some I was showing somebody the we've been talking about having. Stuff going on in the background, and I showed him your robot fighting the dragon. So I thought that was cool. But anyway, all I was going to say was at my day job, we actually got to make some, like, for real game pitches. So
wait a minute, you don't do this? You don't do Horrible Night full time?
Oh yeah, I mean, I make all the money from Horrible Night, so I can have a day job. That's how
you don't make boatloads of money from your video game streams.
Yeah, especially because you let me in on some of those anime advertisements that I can start tapping into. It's gonna double our revenue.
I gave a clear warning up front. Okay, there's a lot of stuff to be avoided out there. So all right, just put that out there, man. It takes a while to find good anime.
That warning goes before all of our videos. But yeah, I was having this moment. We were having a brainstorming session with our team, and we rattled off like 12 or 14 game ideas in about an hour. And but somewhere in the middle of that, I kind of had this surreal moment of, how many dumb game pitches we've made on podcasts in the last year.
Yeah.
And then, like,
they're not dumb, man. Every one of them.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. I mean, they're
going to change the industry.
But actually,
the waffle space truck thing, man, that is going to move Nintendo's here. Their next
somebody's got
platform.
To.
Yeah. Trust me.
I should send all those videos to Nintendo. But it was just weird to have a conversation where I had to stop myself from spinning it into, like, the ridiculous area where our podcast game pitches go. And, oh, yeah, we actually have to figure out how to make this.
Like,
so.
This is actually something, yeah, that someone has to do artwork for, and then someone has to program, and then we have to put in front of people.
Yeah, it's like,
we
might be able to do that alternate reality Google Glass game where you interview pro wrestlers all day when they're really your friends, but I don't... If I actually pitched that at work, I don't know if we'd get the licensing for that.
There are game elements in that. You could make it a game. There could be some top score or something. Yeah.
But I'm excited to see that. We'll actually talk about that in... I think that game's going to come out in April. So, and then after that game's done, I can put pressure for you to release your game. Because I saw it today. I played it on a phone. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was... That was pretty fun, and now I'm learning the headache of, because I have a kind of an older iPhone, and so I'll do something and it won't really work, and then I'll go and get one of my coworkers, like, brand new iPhones, and it'll run, you know, perfectly smooth and fine. And then it's one of those moments like I don't know if this technology just works on older platforms and if I should just ignore it. Like, if it runs, but, like, it's my phone. I want to be able to play the game on my phone. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, so I'll be like, all right, I'll mess around with it.
It was really nice to develop apps and games for smartphones 5 years ago when it was a little simpler. Now you can't even trust those old iPhones. It's
Everyone in the office here at work has an iPhone, too. So,
I'm going to keep writing about video games and making dumb movies about me, dumb videos of me playing them rather than attempt to make one because it's too hard. So that was the moral of my story.
Yeah, ideas for video games are easy to come by. So the thing I'm working on, I'm just trying to learn how to do HTML5 JavaScript games. And so I wouldn't really say the game is much fun. I had one of my coworkers, I said, because he's been real, like, excited to work on all the music for the games.
Oh, cool.
And so I asked him, I showed him like my latest build, and I was like, so, I mean, do you have any ideas, like, how to make it, you know, a little bit funner, make it a little more interesting? And he just started
dubstep.
Yeah.
That sounds.
He said more panties is what he said. He said more panties.
More pantsuits.
More pantsuits is what the game needs, which it does, totally. Everything's better with more pantsuits. But yeah, I just started rolling, and I said, whoa, 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 everything you just said, I have to create art assets for and then animate. So, and then my boss did it too when I showed him the game, because the game takes place in front of our building. And so he's like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if you could, like, walk into the office and walk around? And I went, let me stop you right there. what you just, like, so.
If you can give me all the art for that.
Yeah, I just designed the front of the building. What you're talking about is going through, every room in the building and then, like, in designing it out, man.
This 2D platformer is awesome. If you turn the corner, can it become a first-person shooter?
well, you remember that first game pitch that we had? That the first factory week we did.
Oh yeah,
you're an intern and you're gonna go up to all the small box employees and then there was this moment where I was like, wait, I have to make pixel art of everyone that works of everyone.
Stop hiring people.
And then, like, you know, you're running around Broad Ripple.
You're fired
all the different
because your avatar is too hard to make.
Or your avatar looks too much like this other person's avatar. You both have short hair, beards, and glasses. No. One of you is out. One of you needs to grow your hair real long.
Everyone at your company kind of looks the same. It's like, well, we did that so it would be easier to make cultural video games.
pixel art assets, yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about, so tell me about why you hate permadeath.
All right, so I recently started playing roguelike. Rogue Legacy. I had to look over my notes. Like, wait.
Technically, roguelike.
I thought, wait. you're being real weird. And then I realized, oh, it's because I said it wrong.
I can read
I played the roguelike, Rogue Legacy, all right?
Technically, well, Rogue Legacy is billed as a roguelike-like. So I just keep that in mind before you...
A roguelike-light? It's a light roguelike?
It's a I thought it was a like-like.
Like-like. Like a roguelike. Yeah. All right.
So you played one of those that is similar to those. Okay.
All right. So about... Probably about a half hour into the game on my fifth generation, man, I just did not want to lose him.
I just really emotionally attached to him.
No, I just got so sick of starting a new run, and then like four or five screens into it, just dying. I'm dead. I got hit.
Okay.
I got hit by one guy, and I'm dead.
How many hours of that game did we stream for you? Is the game.
Was it Aaron? Aaron was streaming.
I think Aaron,
right?
Jason, and I all streamed it.
I just watched a couple of Aaron's.
Maybe he doesn't. Does he not die? Is he really good? He's not.
I think I only watched. Wait, what's your point? Where are you going with that?
I'm just saying, did you not know that you're going to die a lot in this game?
Oh no, I knew it.
Okay.
I just didn't know how much I hated that. Yeah. Because I get how the game works. I totally get the game mechanic that they're going for. But like I said, after about my fifth run, I'm like, man, I've spent a half hour, and I feel like I'm wasting my time. But
you got some gold to show for it.
I know.
And get some sweet upgrades.
You've only got like 250 gold. So
then he takes it all away.
So yeah, so you have enough gold to buy like one or two power-ups. And then you don't. But I knew going into it how the game worked, all right? So, well...
Yes, Chocoballs, right. Don't Starve. Fuck, Don't Starve.
Being a programmer, all right? Mm-hmm. I am familiar with the concept that video games, just software. It's just it's files on your computer that
it's
are running.
Executable.
And any software running on your computer needs to store files locally so that that's how it saves so that it restored. So I found where the game was saving the save files. So
I'm really angry at you.
Yeah. So, okay.
You broke the game.
How many game generations? Genie? How many Yeah. Okay. I see. I didn't cheat. I would say I exploited. I exploited a game. I exploited a truth of about software, about a thing running on your computer. So
edit did you make?
So all I did was I found where the folder was, and I would copy and paste the folder. Okay. And then if I died, you just shut the game off, restore that folder, and then you're right back to where you are. So I was basically save stating. like an emulator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of work.
I would start a run.
Were you playing it windowed? Were you playing
in my opinion, it's less work than if you just play the game. All right. So and here's why. Okay. So how many generations did you get into before you beat the first boss? Just ballpark it.
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. You don't even know.
25 plus. Like yeah.
25 plus. All right. That's not as high. Like I actually thought to look up the average.
It could be higher. It's been a while.
I haven't looked at chat. Are they?
They're upset. You're cheating.
Are they getting the pitchforks and torches
out? Hashtag and everything.
So I beat the first boss at my fifth generation.
I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
Copy and paste, man.
And then I just beat the second boss at my 11th generation, I think, and I'm on level 50.
So,
but my characters are on level 50.
So when I'm
in a dungeon run, I clean out the dungeon in one generation. And then when there's absolutely nothing left to do, then I let that character die.
Okay, so you know about the ability to use the architect, right? That'll save the castle.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not your frustration. Your frustration is you've got a character build that you want to run with?
Or? Not really. It's not even – well, you know, that was part of it because I found I really liked the midget, the small guy. He's weaker, but it's so easy to dodge attacks. Like he's actually the guy that I beat the first boss on, and I was just kind of like it was, you know, my fifth generation. Like, I've been doing the save state stuff, but I'm not even really that high of a level yet. And I thought, all right, I've cleared out the level. I'm going to go ahead and fight the first boss to see if I can do it. And the guy was small enough, and I had, by then I had, like, triple jump. I had enough ruins that I could jump three times. Mm-hmm. I never got hit once during that fight. It took forever. Because I wasn't doing much damage to the thing.
I'm just trying to figure out if you put in more, less, or the same amount of work as just...
No, less. I am so close to beating the game, and I've only played the game for probably 3 or 4 hours, maybe.
But, okay, so you're on your run. The end is near. Like, so you... Okay, wait. Before you start the game, you make a copy of the folder. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you do a run, and you die. Cancel out of the game. You close the game.
Yeah.
You paste your original folder.
I delete the current save file because that is a bad one.
Uh-huh.
Because that has that has the corpse of a fallen member of my family in it.
Right.
So I delete that one, and then I just restore the backed up one.
Okay.
And then I open the game back up.
To what advantage? Like, so it's the character build you like, or it's the fact that you know how to run the castle?
I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly, but I feel like every time I get hit, I shouldn't have got hit. I shouldn't have just lost health. And I don't have any way to get that health back. It's so hard to get health back. That's not fair. That's what I say every time. And so I quit the game, and I restore my save file, and I get back in there.
I think you're putting now, more work into it.
I'm not. I've thought about it. The first couple of times I did it, I thought, I'm having to quit the game. I'm having to reset. Yeah. But I've done it enough that I'm actually, because I kind of keep, it's kind of like you're replaying the same area over and over and over again, like you would if you had the architect. But since I'm using the exact same build, like it's the exact same character with the exact same size or like weird deficiencies, I guess, and the same like magic attack, like I get real good at using that character. And then at some point, yeah, I mean, I just have to admit there's nothing left, so he has to die and I have to get a new one. I know I'm not playing the game right, okay? And I am probably missing out on a shared experience with other people on this game. But man, I kind of wish, like, the game plays so well that I kind of wish that they would just take it and then just get rid of the permadeath thing and then just do a like Symphony of the Night thing and just make the castle, like, you know,
your next step
three or four times as big, because man, that game, like, the controls are real tight.
Mm-hmm.
Real tight. And man, the animations, everything is real smooth. They've got a ton of enemies.
Yep.
So yeah, like a ton of attacks. Yeah, yeah. And
so
the music is great.
This rabbit hole
too
ends with you becoming one of those game developers that just hacks the games you really like to turn it into the game you really want it to be.
So, yeah, I'm just going to remake the game. I'm going to take all the art assets and turn it into the game that it should.
You're just going to really...
Hey, man, I'm just playing the game that I need to enjoy it. This game is 10 out of 10, okay? But
there would be
only
people,
10 out of 10 if you save state it.
There would be people that would buy your Rogue Legacy if you just removed the permadeath. If you just had lives, mm-hmm, and got to, like, continue from within... Yeah, they would... Yeah.
Well,
then that is just a Castlevania game. So
I struggle with this even, like, making games, because, like, the couple of games that I've worked on, I don't want to waste anyone's time. So I made this game for work one time, that the Return of the Jackal thing. So I just redid it recently with new art assets, because we just stole art assets the first time around.
How would we paint one room?
So I had my nephew, who's 10, play the game, and he could not – there's only – 2 rooms in the game, and he could not figure out the game only takes a minute to beat. He could not figure out how to, he could not find the second room. He could not, it was just a platform. You just jump up into the air under a platform and then jump up into the air again. And I watched him for 5 minutes trying to find that platform. And then I got an email from one of my coworkers, and they had the exact same problem with, I'm confused. I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And I went and watched her play it, and I was like, dang it. So, you know, I redesigned the level, because clearly nobody can see that platform right there. Nobody knows to jump up on that. So
you're a bad game developer.
That's good feedback. All right. Yeah. It's just the layout of the level it doesn't make that clear. All right, that's fine. Because even my nephew said he didn't realize it was a platform. He thought it was a brick in the wall. Mm-hmm. All right. So what I ended up doing, so I did that. But then there's like this laser, these laser beams that are moving. And so it's just kind of a, I don't know, you'd call it like a timing puzzle. Sure. You just got to get in the right position.
Yeah.
Walk along. So as soon as you hit a laser beam,
Game over.
You get hit. So you can't be impatient. You got to just take your time with it. Man, nobody in my office could do it. It's not that difficult.
You designed it for the real hardcore gamers out there.
Well, I realize that may have been what happened.
Cousin or
nephew. No, he couldn't do it either. Of course, he plays Call of Duty.
Well, he's terrible.
He plays it on the Wii.
I don't know who.
Not the same. You leave him alone, Lacey.
Pick on family.
So what I ended up doing was, so this is just like an interesting showcase piece for my company. We're not going to start making games or anything like that. It's just kind of a cool, like we do these week sabbatical things, and so it was just a game I made during it. But we're going to write a blog about it, and we're going to show it, and people that...
How does this hack Rogue Legacy? Where is this going?
Oh, so people in my industry, in uh-huh. web development, in the tech community, are going to see this because, they wrote a blog about it, and try and play it, except none of these people play video games. So I added three modes. I added, there's the hard mode, which mm-hmm. is, and again,
which
there's
is
only
normal.
Two,
let's admit it.
There's only two rooms in the game. Mm-hmm. Hard mode is if at any point you get hit by a laser beam, and there's these security, like robots, if you get, if one of those spot you, then it's game over and you have to start all over again. Mm. All right, so normal mode, if you get hit by the laser beam, then you start over again in the room you're in. Mm-hmm. So if you make it to the second room and you can't get by it past laser beams, you don't have to start the game over. You just got to start the laser beam thing over again. And then there's easy mode, which is basically invisibility mode. It's God mode. Like, the character's actually a little transparent because you can just walk through everything.
Oh, that's fun.
So you can just, the robot dog things they don't see you, and then you can just walk through the laser beams.
Well, considering your audience, you might want to call that normal mode so they feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
You have normal, hard, and nightmare mode is what you have. You don't have
nightmare mode.
There's no easy mode.
Well, I thought about evil mode. Normal mode would be, you're invincible. So, yeah. So, just, sometimes games are too hard.
I'm telling you, this is where you're headed.
You
get transfixed on a game, you're gonna just as soon as you know how to get in there and manipulate the code for that game.
You should call chat just said I should call that Justin mode.
then
you could actually beat some games. You could just experience the ending like the rest of us are capable of doing.
That's why I'm starting to post my game through videos, just to prove to all of you that I can beat games.
I don't know.
Wolf
None of us
among
can...
us.
None of us can see your hands, though. There could be somebody else in the room holding the controller.
What kind of racket would that be? I want to see the internet.
You've got Coop in the room with you. Playing
the
internet
nerd rage of finding out that your favorite Let's Player isn't actually playing. He's just doing color commentary on top of somebody else playing.
He doesn't even own the console. It's his nephew.
Not
video
feeds. Not your nephew. He's terrible.
Not my nephew. He's a man.
Except for Call of Duty.
Man.
So indie
like
game
that.
Development.
From a nephew.
Let's see if we can trick you and talk about news. It's kind of bugged me this week.
Okay.
Indie game development. So back at E3, Sony did this big outreach to indie developers, and they were kind of the winner. One of the reasons they kind of won E3 or whatever was because they are bringing a bunch of indie games to their platform and being super friendly with them. And Microsoft kind of tripped over themselves, but by getting rid of their Xbox Live indie games on the 360.
Because they hate indie games.
They thought it was cool to hate indie games.
The last E3, mm-hmm. Microsoft hated indie games.
Now they love them. They love them because they started this ID, Indie Developers at Xbox program.
Say that again.
ID at Xbox.
You mean like an email address?
Yes.
Like
yes.
ID at
Xbox.
Like you're
but don't
send
try to
email
that, because I don't think that goes
but not,
anywhere.
Not at Xbox.com. No, just at Xbox. Yeah. Like an email address, but not.
If you can.
When you sent that to me, I was so confused what it was. I thought. I seriously thought. I'm looking at the doc for this. I just assumed you mistyped something.
No, that no. It was, that's the name reason, of you put the program.
Why is there an at symbol in it?
So they only,
why is it all capital letters too?
It's hip.
My problem with it. That's where I can't get past. If there was a way to change the save files so that it read differently,
just solution then, everything.
Then it would be 10 out of 10. But until I can change it, I'm gonna struggle.
So the ID at Xbox program proves that Microsoft loves indie game developers, but only the ones they invite to this program.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
not all indie developers.
It's
the handful that they've allowed.
Yeah, because they're trying to get away from the fact that Xbox Live Indie Games for the longest time was just Minecraft clones and like Baby Maker Sims and just a bunch of shitty indie games. But
people need their Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird
got taken off the App Store.
Yeah,
people need their fix, man.
That's what you should make. You should make a Flappy Bird.
You need people making those clones. Everything. You need those Minecraft clones, man.
Sometimes they show up on Steam.
Actually. Sometimes you can't get enough. Yeah, well, yeah. You put the voxel, the cube on it, and there you go, Minecraft.
So last week they announced that they announced another 60 plus indie game developers that are in this program, and like just they made it like a press release, like, hey, we're working with these guys now. They get to make games for us. We're it was like this outreach and like. Supposed to be like propping up these developers, but there's just something still really snooty about it. Just like this exclusive club that I don't think you understand what is making indie game development so fascinating. Like
the random weird
just
stuff that just pops up. Nobody
their desire to curate all this stuff is still like putting up this wall.
So that is what's going on. This isn't like an open.
No,
like any indie developer can make games for Xbox Live and for the new Xbox One.
They cannot until Microsoft approves them, basically, and they pay or whatever to get into this program.
Well, I mean, everybody does the approval thing, though.
I mean,
the App Store does, but obviously,
right? I mean, and Steam,
a lot of crap gets through there, but
and Steam's trying to figure out, with Greenlight, trying to figure out how to make that work. But you can still release a game for the PC, and anybody can go buy it. Like
that's true.
And then,
because even Steam, I mean, it's being voted. It's not just one guy that works at Steam that's just I've got 50 games. I got 50 games I have to review today. Yeah. Pass, 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 fail, pass, 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 fail. Like just he's flipping a coin. I assume that's how the App Store works.
I was gonna make that joke. Yeah, it's one guy.
One guy. Yeah, just he's got a 20-sided die. Yeah, because he's getting him approved because he's playing D&D. That's where I was going with that. Never mind.
So Sony's been they're open as far as like anybody can develop for the PlayStation 4. I still haven't seen that flood of I honestly, when I bought my PlayStation 4 last year, I thought there'd be a flood of indie games to keep me busy in between the big releases, but that hasn't happened either.
Is that a lack of developers making stuff for the PlayStation?
I'm not sure what's going on.
Because I've got a PlayStation 3, and every now and again, I'll jump into the store, and And all I see are the headlining games or like really old PlayStation 2 games that are on sale for $20. That's it. I don't really see any indie stuff. And if it's indie stuff, it's really popular indie stuff.
The not indie stuff.
The millions of dollars indie stuff. Yeah.
No, I don't know what the solution
that's
is.
That's over money.
I don't know what the solution is to like prevent your Baby Maker Extreme games from showing up on your platforms, but I don't know. Closing the gate, like putting up these artificial walls, doesn't seem like the right route. And I don't know. I just when I saw like it's good that more indie developers are going to be on Xbox One, but the fact that Microsoft was like promoting it as this like goodwill type of thing, I was like, you're still missing the point. It was just kind of disappointing to see.
And I'm going
to
take a wild guess and say that those. Indie developers that they brought into the fold are all handpicked, well-known, famous indie developers that have already proven.
It's like, hey, the behemoth, the guys that made exclusive games for the 360 for us, they're now approved. I'm like, I don't know. Just from the random games I've been picking up lately, like that kind of stuff isn't going to be popping up on the consoles. And
well, luckily you belong to the PC gaming master race. So. But it's not really a big deal for you and for me.
But I get a kick out of when I see when I see those indie games succeed on the consoles. Like,
yeah, just... definitely. So I mean, I've done that too, because when you sent me that, I thought it was kind of ridiculous, and then I read a little bit about it. Because one of the things they're doing is they're making Unity tools, mm-hmm. so that at some point soon there'll be a Unity plugin for Xbox One or Xbox
yes,
Live. Or,
yes.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And then I got excited, and then I had to read it again, and then I got not excited. So all of those hand-picked developers get a pro license of Unity free with the plugin. Well, yeah. I thought that was a little bit more inclusive. Like,
yeah, it's not just you can't just sign up and you get Unity.
Yeah. So yeah. So, and then I was like, oh well, that's not really a big deal. How much is Unity? Well, Unity Pro is about $1,500, mm-hmm. and the Xbox plugin is going to probably be $1,500. So if you want to make games on Xbox, it'll start out at about 3,000 as a developer. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
For one guy who doesn't really know if he's going to, you know, doesn't have any ambition to do this for a living. Like, wow, like $3,000 is a lot of money just to make a stupid, silly little game. Yeah. That has easy mode.
No, normal. That's normal mode. That's normal mode.
Normal mode. That's super easy, friendly hugs and kittens mode.
I want to, the last thing I want to talk about is the, some of these little random game discoveries we've made. We both sent each other the trailer for Crawl.
I sent it to you, and then you immediately replied with, dude, you should check this out. Like, and it wasn't to another email that I'd sent. It was to the email that I sent the link to you. And then you just sent me a different the same video, just a different place the video was hosted. Yeah. I was so confused.
I just checked them off as unread.
Maybe it's a different video, so I watched it again. I don't know.
It takes you 90 seconds of that video to realize.
This is exactly the same video, and the link I sent you was better because it was the developer's blog. You sent me a YouTube. Yeah, you sent me the YouTube page. Man, that pixel art, like the game sounds really cool, but man, all these little indie games. I don't even care about the games. I just love looking at the pixel art. Like Hyperdrive Light Drifter.
Yep.
Hyper Light. Oh, man. That Kickstarter page just has nothing but just these little GIF animations. I open that thing up and just stare at them. They're beautiful.
There was one of the sites had a an animated GIF of the dude just slashing a beast and blood going everywhere. And I was using that to promote the game to friends. But so this is a dungeon crawler. And the hook here,
it's a dungeon crawler.
It's a dungeon crawler. You are a hero in a dungeon fighting monsters. But the monsters are controlled by your friends.
Yeah.
And on top of like the fantastic art style it has, and the animation looked great, the gameplay looked great. So I think this was just approved on Greenlight. I had a Greenlight link, so I think it's coming out to.
I know it's on Greenlight, but it'll get the votes, yeah. No doubt about it. Like, the game looks awesome. Real, real simple pixel artwork, but, like, really complicated animations. Like, it's not just a guy swinging a sword. It's a guy swinging a sword and then doing a different backswing, then doing a different forwards. There's, like, every weapon attack, like the spear attacks, club attacks, each of them has, like, probably, like, a 6 to 10 little... attack combo, whole thing's animated out, and they just have GIF animations on their website of each one. Man, they're
it's pretty slick.
Yeah, they're slick. Yeah.
And then
Crawl is the name of that game, Crawl. By the way.
And then you sent me a link to, or I'm going to say it, call it Irkalla, Irkalla.
That's how I would say it.
Which I kind of made the joke because it looks like a Metroidvania, but you're with mechs. Like but there's an animated GIF of the guy, the pixel art guy,
the lady.
Oh, excuse me, the pixel art lady.
There you go. The main character is a lady.
Spoilers.
So there you go. Empowerment.
But she was jumping into a mech, and I was like, "Oh man, Titanfall has really changed since the beta came out. They made a dramatic shift here." So
I like the new pixel art direction. The game looks really indie now. I like it. That's how Microsoft is. That's how they're doing the indie thing. They're just taking all their major releases and then just making making pixel art versions of them.
It looks
We caught you, Microsoft.
The prospect of a mech Metroidvania with a the art style of this is equally awesome as well. They had some it's this
again, just real simple pixel art.
But man, it's just lots of frames of the animations and just lots of polish of the character animations.
Tons of little detail. Creativity. Like I set one as my desktop right now, and it's just the main character like sitting in her kitchen, I guess. But like imagine a really overly decorated kitchen on like a starship. Like you don't have space for everything, so you have to make everything as compact and square and pack everything together. Like any place there's space, and it's just this little, you know, little piece of pixel art. Man, it's gorgeous.
There's
all the tiny little bits of detail. Like, man, I couldn't do that.
No, it's
no, my nephew couldn't do it either.
Of course not. He's
tell you what.
He has no talent whatsoever. Landed out there.
I am breaking all of your recording stuff tonight. Your cameras get smashed. Oh.
I should never lend you. I forgot.
I'm not even using any of it.
Don't lend someone expensive electronic equipment when you're going to insult his family.
Make fun of their family.
My
brother, you can make fun of.
Okay.
Just yeah.
I don't know. Trucker Balls has been he's been a pretty good guy in chat. So, I mean, we distracted Aaron and chat with all of our baby maker talk. So, that kind of lost the crowd a little bit.
So first time for me being on this side of the Twitch stream, it is really hard to talk and pay attention to what's going on in chat at the same time.
Now you understand how hard my non-job is.
Yeah, I'm going to start typing all caps and use a lot of exclamation points so you guys will see it.
We'll get out here with our games of the week. What have you been playing? What's had your attention?
The Witcher 2. Man, so I have never had really any interest in playing a Witcher game. I've watched the beginning playthrough of the first Witcher. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, just something about it. It seemed really, again, really difficult and really complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how to cheat and do an easy mode. I wasn't going to play the game. I was looking for the INI files to change like your player health, but I couldn't find them. So I just got done with Skyrim because it was on Steam sale for $5.
It's short. You put 200 hours into it.
Game of the year, 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014, Skyrim. Man, that game is so good. It's so much fun.
What is the same thing from Skyrim to Witcher like?
So once I finally finished everything. I did my good playthrough, then I did my evil Thieves Guild, Assassin's Guild playthrough, and then that's it. I've done everything in the game, and so I was kind of like, man, I need something with swords and magic and monsters in it. Well, so The Witcher 2 was on sale like on Steam a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and it was only $5. I was like, oh man, that game's got swords, the game's got magic, and it's got two monsters. Swords. So I went to, of course, everybody's got this Steam story. I go to buy it, and Steam's like, you already own it. Do you want to gift it to someone? When did I buy The Witcher 2? At no point in my life have I ever wanted to play The Witcher 2. I assume, again, there was just a Steam sale, and I was like, oh, all right, $5.
Yeah.
And just going down a list of, games, $5, all right. Yeah. Oh, $3, all right. So I kind of wish the game would tell you how much – I think you've said this before. I wish the game would tell you how much you paid for it.
Let me order my games by my purchase date because I would like to know the order that I'm buying these things. Because, yeah, who knows? You might have had that game for, 2 years. Who knew? You probably bought it not last holiday sale, but the holiday sale before, because this is a couple years old, too. I think it came out the same year as Skyrim, if I'm thinking right.
Man, I don't have any idea when it came out, actually. I didn't even think to look.
Anyway, how's Geralt treating you?
Geralt. Man, that game.
Gary?
So, there's a huge learning curve. To go from a game like Skyrim to I guess you would call it a European RPG, like The Witcher. Man. So you can't heal yourself during combat. You have to prepare for battles. So it was cool going from Skyrim because by about my second playthrough, a good 60, 80 hours into Skyrim, you kind of realize it is literally the same thing over and over again. someone's got a job for you, and they want you to go kill this bandit, so you go into a cave, and it's the same cave asset over and over and over again, and you just go in the cave and you kill all the bandits. You know, the progression is like, while you're, that's the game, and that's the end of the game. It's a cave that you've seen before.
It's not fun to play. And a bandit. Well, those people think it's good.
You know, the thing that keeps me playing the game, though, was like the progression of it. Like, I want to level up because I want to get those. I want to max out my archer skill tree because I want to do the. I want to slow down time, or I want to do paralyze. I want to do headshots. I want to feel all. I want to feel like Robin Hood, you know. And then the armor, like, man, just being able to like find new armor in the game, like that point where you get the all the bone armor. Like that is a moment like that you have been dreaming to achieve, or all the Daedric armor. Like once you realize that stuff is in the game, like man, then it's a goal. You know, then it's a goal to get. Sorry, spoilers.
No, I'm just trying to talk about The Witcher. I thought we were here to talk about The Witcher, not Skyrim.
Oh, sorry. Like I said, it's just the same thing over and over. Yeah. See, this is a problem. Being my first show, I've got about 30 years of video games to talk about here. So
we'll get you back on.
Okay, so sorry. So I switched to this, The Witcher, because, again, just I was like, man, I want more medieval swords and monsters and stuff like that. But, yeah, that game, it's not open world. It's chapter one. It's prologue, chapter one. When chapter one's over, that's it. If you didn't complete all the side quests, then you failed them. So now you're on to chapter two. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of just like running around the same area, like talking to NPCs. Like a lot of the side missions are like in every town you go to arm wrestle everyone. That's fun. Oh,
is that a repeated thing? I did my
yeah. It's in every town. Yeah, and they actually link together. So once you beat the guy in the first town, he'll tell you, "Hey, go check this guy out in the second town."
I did the Fight Club thing.
Those are like
punch some dudes, too. But
how far did you get? Did you beat it?
No. I'm in chapter one in the first. Like, I guess I'm about to fight the Kraken or something like that. So I'm right before that.
The Kraken.
Okay.
It's not a Kraken. It's a Kraken.
Yeah. Right now, I know there's some beast out there I have to go kill. So.
Yeah, but like one of my favorite things about that game is, so you get these like little side missions that you'll get off a like job board, like a bounty hunter's job board, and it'll be like, oh, there are all these necrophages, you know, eating people, and you got to go kill them. Well, the game actually tells you before you go kill them, you need to learn about them, so you need to go buy a book. No, you have to find the NPC that sells books, and then you have to buy the book on that, because that guy's got a ton of books, and there are a ton of different creatures, and you don't have a lot of money in the game. So if you just start buying books, no, you need to buy that book on necrophages, and it's a specific kind of necrophage. Huh. So once you buy the book, then the quest objective is updated. Yeah. And then you need to actually read the little paragraph too, because now you learn you're not just going and killing them, the things they burrow into nests. And so you can't kill them, you have to destroy the nest. And you can only destroy the nest with a specific type of bomb that you need to go buy the diagram from so that you can build those bombs.
So yeah, I haven't really played The Witcher 2 yet.
But that's cool. Skyrim did that too. Every time you entered a town, every town had like this really awesome, unique side mission for the town. Like Wilhelm had the serial killer. Mm-hmm. Like you walk into town and you find the people are all staring at the body that's been murdered, and now you're Skyrim private detective, and you're trying to figure out, you're trying to detect who the serial killer is in the town killing women. But that's it. It's the only time you do it, and then every other mission is go to this cave and clear out all the draggers or the zombie things and kill all the bandits. But Witcher, they're all side missions. Like you don't have to do it. Like even the Kraken, like it's not like you got to go buy.
No, you got to do it. I'm playing that. I got a sword on my back that is just to kill monsters. So I gotta go kill some.
Man, that's the lore.
Yeah, it's deep.
The Witcher's really
read
cool.
The books? Are you gonna read the books?
Well, again, so this is the Game of Thrones thing where some of them are not in English yet.
Right.
And I don't. The author is Polish. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're all over the place. Like they're in every language, but they're not. All of them aren't in English yet. There's a couple of books, collections of short stories, and I think the two games that we've played, I think there are books in English based off of them.
Well, so
like
the next, you get the third game coming out. Hopefully it'll.
Man, I'm excited about it too, because
It looks the next like it's trying to be Skyrim is the thing. So.
Oh yeah, I think yeah. I watched a video there. This one's supposed to be more open world too. So, man, like kind of cool. Like that. Yeah, that'd be real cool. But the cool thing about this next one, The Wild Hunt, is I've never played the first one, so I started playing the second one, and Geralt keeps talking about someone named Yennefer, and he keeps talking about The Wild Hunt. It's an ongoing thing. Like, you can find old poems and stories, and you're asking everybody you meet about The Wild Hunt. And so I'm like, okay, I didn't play the first game. Clearly I missed something. No, there's nothing in the first game about Yennefer or The Wild Hunt. It's just lore. It's part of, like, Geralt's story.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a funny moment because I thought, like, well, I never finished the first game. I watched, the first chapter of it. So I must have missed a lot of stuff. No, you didn't. The first game, he's talking. There are people talking about Yennefer in The Wild Hunt, but it has nothing to do with the first game. So
Nailed down a date for Witcher 3 yet. Say next quarter. So it'll probably – I'm going to go ahead and guess August.
Well, I won't play it for another 3 or 4 years anyway. When it's $5 on Steam.
Because that game's only worth $5. Steam. No, that Witcher 2 is as amazing as they say. So
I never said any of these games. I just, hey, I'm doing other stuff at the time, and I just happen to be paying attention to Steam when there's an awesome sale.
Nah, you got a winner there. I think that
I'm at this point now. If another actual Skyrim game came out, I would just buy it day one for sure.
Don't be distracted by the Elder Scrolls Online, apparently. We talked a little bit about that with Josh the other day. It did not go well. So
it just sounds like a massive multiplayer and whatever it's called.
It's an MMO that pretends that it's Skyrim. And it's
I heard on another podcast, they were kind of like the game's trying to find the balance between that, but it's not going to. Yeah. And so for Skyrim fans, going to fall flat, and for I don't know how to say that, it's going to fall flat too.
Of the week seems appropriate that I've been naturally, when Lords of Shadow 2 comes out, I need to play the
Should I have asked you what your game of the week
me? This is how you drive the show as a host.
You just keep talking loudly over around your guest. Okay.
I wanted to play Lords of Shadow 2, but I got to play through Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate first, because I didn't stick through it on the 3DS. Played a good chunk of it last week. I've been playing the HD version on the 360, which is really funny to see the random 3DS moments that it throws at you that you know, like, this thing's supposed to be coming at me, and
your Twitch stream, like, I was getting just a terrible stuttering, but every now and again your audio would come back in. I remember you saying that, and I didn't. What was happening?
It's like there's a bunch of scenes with the bosses where, for whatever reason, you both end up like falling off a cliff or taking a tumble, and it'll just do this shot where, you know, you're falling at the screen, or they're off in the distance, and you just know it's playing up the 3D on the 3DS.
The whip keep kind of just passing close to the camera? It's in 3D.
It's gonna get you. It's gonna get you. Holy shit! The story of this game is fantastic. Like, I totally eat up all Castlevania things, and I really got into the story of Lords of Shadow 1. And this, I am so glad I went back to play this game, because I was kind of doubting. I was like, you know, maybe I should just do the Wikipedia YouTube thing and get onto Lords of Shadow 2. It was like, but holy, like, just they finally. So this game's all about, like, filling in the rest of the Belmont story. You start playing as Simon, and you find out, like, how he's connected to Dracula, and
so is that going to is that is the game the so you're playing the Mirror hold on, hold of Fate.
I will I will say at this point, because the trailers for Lord of Shadow 2, spoilers are on the table right now. I'm going to talk through the awesome revelations in Mirror of Fate. So just so you know, if you can't
say the first Lord of Shadow games, I think we're past the expiration date on spoilers.
So it actually starts off. The prologue is you play as Gabriel from Lords of Shadow 1 for a little bit, and he has a son, and then you come to then the game starts with you playing as Gabriel's son's son, which is Simon Belmont. That's the original Castlevania hero. So
Rogue Legacy.
Yes, it's exactly like Rogue Legacy. They're all tied together.
Can you save state?
Yeah, luckily, save. Yes. I didn't have to.
Because I want to play Dracula. I don't want none of the sun. I just
wish I had permadeath. Actually, this game thankfully has like a checkpoint system during boss battles, so it's been beating the hell out of me. But
they looked like really long boss battles. I couldn't tell if you just were playing them really badly or if they were just really long.
It's really the
audio would come back in and you'd be like, yeah, you'd be like, damn it,
the controls.
That was a cheap shot. Damn it,
the controls.
I gotta do that over again.
The controls are fair. It's a very much more deliberately paced action game, like Lords of Shadow, where everything's very combo-based. And the characters are very floaty, so anytime it tries to get you to do like timing-based jumps or any platforming, that's where it kind of falls apart. But I pushed through that stuff. The castle design's been really great. I'm surprised at how the map comes together. Like, Dracula's Castle is pretty awesome. But the hook here is the storyline and just figuring out how Simon is connected to his father and what that means for Dracula. And I just got through a bunch of those revelations there at the end. And I'm about to start the third act, which is where a twist happens. And I'm just... I can't wait to finish that game. And
Dracula is not really your daddy! But we have the DNA test results to show you who is! Back after the break.
I wonder how vampire DNA works that way. No.
No.
Did you actually catch how it was all connected during all your stuttering?
No.
Do you want to?
No. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I was confused because you kept saying something about a family reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was Dracula, Alucard, and which Belmont was it?
So the funny thing is, I thought it was so obvious from playing that much of the game, like how everything was connected. And then the twist happens, and apparently it wasn't obvious. So you play as Gabriel Belmont in Lords of Shadow 1. He becomes Dracula at the end of the show. So he has a
son. I don't remember that happening.
He has a son.
That doesn't sound right.
He has a son that is protected by the Brotherhood that turned their back on Gabriel.
He didn't know about. By the end of the first game, he had no idea he had a son.
No, no, that was all new with Mirror of Fate. Like, the prologue is a year before Lords of Shadow 1 takes place. So he has a son who is Simon Belmont's dad, who you start playing as, and he's trying to go figure out what happened. Simon went to Dracula's castle and never came back, and now I'm an adult. I'm going to go figure out what happened to my dad. And then they start interweaving Alucard into the story. Like, he's in the background helping you and you don't really see it. And then you have Simon and Alucard have a competition, like, who are you? Why are you helping me? Then you play as Alucard for act two.
That's really cool.
And then, about halfway through that, I start connecting the dots.
It's kind of a Symphony of the Night throwback.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole Lords of Shadow thing has just been a new take on Castlevania, but traditionally Alucard is Dracula's son.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
So Gabriel,
even people don't know anything about Castlevania. They know that.
So I'm playing as Alucard and I start thinking. So Gabriel Belmont is Dracula. Gabriel Belmont had a son. So Dracula's son would be.
We've already established father son.
Yeah,
we know there's this other guy in the castle.
And then Alucard is supposed to be Dracula's son. Wait, does that mean Alucard's Simon's dad? And then, so that was kind of the,
you mean they hid it from you, like they were going to reveal it, and you were going to be real surprised?
Like, I thought they were telling the story really, really well.
Yeah.
Because you do this whole battle where you're Alucard, you're fighting with Simon, and you're fighting Dracula, and like it kind of ends, and I'm like, okay, they haven't come out and say that Alucard is Simon's dad, but like all the information's here, so it's obvious, right? And then they start Act 3, and you're playing as Trevor Belmont, who is Simon's dad. And I'm like, so wait, you're going to make me play another act to fill in the blank that I already know, that Trevor Belmont becomes Alucard?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. So
that's...
Oh, so he knows his dad as Trevor.
And the game, I connected all those dots, and I was talking about it on the stream, but the game
hadn't connected that dot,
and I've got to
play... Trevor was Alucard.
Yeah, and I've got to play through another act to do that, so...
Do they look the same? Trevor wears glasses. Alucard doesn't.
No.
That's where they get you.
Trevor has dark hair. Alucard has white hair.
can't be the same person. No, no. You can't just go from dark, especially when your hair is that long. You know how long it would take to bleach your hair?
So I have no
Don't, because I have short hair. I have no idea. I assume a long time.
You know, so Lords of Shadow 2, which is out now, you play as Dracula. I don't really know how it's where this story's going from here. It's going to fill in that gap of who Alucard
is. He's looking for his dad.
I get, yeah.
And then it turns out he's his own dad. Time travel stuff.
It's all.
Yeah, they're gonna, it's going to get real. It's why the second game's in the future. Yeah.
And then time travel. Lords of Shadow 3 is actually True Blood, the video game. That's how it all works. So, I think
it's just a soap opera in the woods, out in the cabins in the woods with a bunch of vampires being all moody. Because my dad left me when I was a little kid. He didn't care about me. Now I'm a bad dad. Now I'm gonna be a bad deadbeat dad too. But I'm also a vampire.
I don't think they're gonna get to make that game.
So that's on the table too.
I think
you got an old cart out in your yard without any wheels on it. White trash vampires.
I don't like where this is headed anymore. It was really cool for a while. Bring me Patrick Stewart back. He was in the first game. So, all right. That's going to do it for Top Video Game Podcast this week.
Jordan, the best top video game podcast.
No, that's way too long. That acronym's weird.
Just yeah, it's a little weird.
I had to drop the of the week, too. So,
okay. Well, I still have plenty to talk about, so I'm going to sit here and... I'm gonna keep.
All right, we'll catch. We might invite you back. Stay, I don't know.
I'm just gonna stay on the hangout here and just keep talking to myself. Daring myself. Sorry, man. Go ahead and finish the show.
I can't. This guy won't stop talking. awkward first guess, I tell you. But yeah, Top Video Game Podcast will be back again in 2 weeks. We'll see you then. Until next time.
Woo!
Good job, Jordan.
Good show, everybody.
Yeah.
Good show. We'll be right back.